on this occasion. The service is going to be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That is the time that best suits the Presbytery Commission. And we hope that you will come along, and it will be a time also when families will come along as well to support our elders-elect as they are ordained. So we'd ask you to note that elders' service of ordination on Sunday, the 12th of May at 4 p.m. And then just to give you advance notice, we are planning our bread and cheese lunch following the morning service in support of Christian Aid on Sunday, the 19th of May. So we'd ask you to note those two dates. And then just to announce to you that the word for today is available in the vestibule, so you can pick them up there. The GB and the BB are having a dinner to celebrate their 75th anniversary. That dinner will be held on Saturday, the 18th of May at 7 p.m. in Mavilla Abbey. Tickets are available from the church office or from the BB and GB captains and officers, and the cost is 15p, or 15p, you would be lucky. I was hoping it was 15p, £15 per person. So if you want further details about that, just speak to any members of the company. And then to say to you that we are planning a election for a new congregational committee. The sheets will be available next week, and you will be able to vote for the new members on Sundays the 5th and the 12th of May. And then the forms or the election sheets have to be returned by Sunday the 19th of May at the latest. So making you aware of that, and that the papers will be available next week. And then just one more announcement. It is with regret that I have to announce the death of another of our members, Mr. John Neely, from the Manse Park. John died at the beginning of the week, and his service was here in the church on Friday. John was an elder in the congregation and a member of this congregation for many years. And our thoughts and prayers go today to his wife, Margaret, and to all the members of the family circle. Just to remind you that this is our all-age service. Boys and girls stay in throughout the service, and there's tea in the hall afterwards. Now, you may have thought that's the end of all the announcements. It's the end of all of my announcements. But Michael has one more to make for us.
At the last church weekend 2 years ago. So we're having another church weekend on the 21st to 23rd of June. The forms have been in the vestibules for quite a while. We've about 43 people so far, but even looking at the video there, there's quite a lot of people who haven't signed up again this time. And last time we had it, people said, can we have this again next year? So we said, we'll leave it a year so that, you know, the appetite builds up. Some people might think, well, it's too late now. I haven't put my name down. I just wanted to announce this morning that if you give me your name soon, then I can confirm with the castle the final number. So don't be thinking you've missed the boat and that there's no more opportunity. If you would like to go to the church weekend, please speak to David or myself and get your names down as soon as possible. Thank you.
In our all-age services, we follow what the boys and girls are doing in the lighthouse and in the Bible classes. And today they were looking, or were meant to look, at Peter and Jesus appearing to Peter after his resurrection. And so we're going to be thinking about Peter today in our service. So let's come and worship God together. Let's remind ourselves that we come to the risen King, the one who is able to meet our deepest needs. Come, people of the risen King.
Thank you.
And we are going to pray together, and our prayers this morning are going to be led for us by Paul.
Thank you that we can meet together as your church family to worship and praise you, the one true God. Lord, we praise you that you are the God of all creation, the God who has made the heavens and the earth. The psalmist encourages us to praise you because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're the God who gives us life, the God who gives us every breath that we take. Lord, you know each one of us here this morning completely. You know when we sit and when we rise. You know all our thoughts. You even know everything that we're going to say before we open our mouths to speak. Our lives are like an open book to you, and you want us to be honest and humble as we come to you this morning. Lord, we thank and praise you for your amazing love for us, a love that was so great that you were willing to send your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus, to come and die on the cross. Thank you that he took our place and he was punished for our sins so that we can be reconciled to you. Thank you that because of Jesus, we are accepted by you as children of God, that in Christ we are secure and free from condemnation, and in Christ we are significant and we can approach you with freedom and confidence. Lord, when we think of who you are and how you've rescued us, showing us grace and mercy, it should leave us amazed and speechless. But Lord, if we're honest with you and you know our hearts, our love for you can often be half-hearted. We can so easily wander away from you and be distracted by the things of this world. We can be self-centered, living our lives with little thought for you or for other people. We can get more excited about our favourite football team, our favourite TV programme, shopping or our hobbies. Lord Jesus, you ask us, just as you asked Simon Peter, do you truly love me more than these? Forgive us, Lord, for forgetting how great you are, and bring us back to the heart of worship, that Jesus is to be our greatest treasure and the one to have first place in our hearts. Help us this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit to set our minds on things above as we read your word and sing your praises. Be with all who take part and stir our hearts afresh to love you more and to serve one another in love. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. And we're now going to watch a short video which deals with an incident in Peter's life. I think we're going to have to cut this because we don't seem to have any sound. We have a technical difficulty. Okay, if we just stop it there, it actually is the story in cartoon form of Peter's denial of Jesus, and that's a well-known story to all of you. You know that Peter said that he, above all the other disciples, would never deny Jesus, and yet he denied him three times in the courtyard of the high priest. And I want to think about that this first part of the service. And I've brought some things along with me, boys and girls, and I want to see if you can kind of guess what they all have in common. Here's the first thing. One of these. And then some of these. Yes. And then this here as well. This. Oh, gosh, the top of that's nearly coming off. Some of this funny green stuff. Anybody know what all of these are? Want to tell me? Yes, good boy. That's right. They're all kinds of medicines. Some of them come in the form of pills, and some of them come in the form of liquid, and some of them are a very strange color indeed. Have you ever had to take medicine? I'm sure all of you have probably had to take some form of medicine. And sometimes, boys and girls, medicine isn't very nice. It doesn't taste nice. You kind of think the green stuff mightn't be very pleasant to take. Or tablets can be very big and they're very, very hard to swallow. And today we're going to think about something we all face in life, no matter what age we are, but has been described as a bitter pill to swallow. And of course, this bitter pill is not medicine, but it is failure. Failure can be very hard to face in life. And the reason for that is that it can be embarrassing and humiliating and painful. I have a really vivid memory of the first time that I faced failure in my life. I was captain of our school, our primary school football team, and I played centre half. I was a big guy. And during this match with another school, I went up at a corner and I rose beautifully into the air and headed the ball brilliantly into the corner of the net and scored for our team. And we were ahead 1-0. And then in the second half, the opposite team's centre forward was facing me and I missed my tackle and I let him in and he scored the equaliser. And I wasn't feeling very happy about that. But just towards the end of the game, our team got a penalty. And I was to take the penalty. And I made a whole mess of the penalty. And I missed by a very long way. And I remember at the end of that game, feeling like such a failure. I felt so bad, I let myself down, and I had let my team down. And it wasn't a very nice feeling at all. But you see, that was only a game of football. And there are bigger ways in which we all fail. And failure comes not as a result of us, comes as a result of us not doing what we know is right. We fail to obey our parents or our teachers, or we don't do what God says to us in His Word. And we fail, and those things hurt us, and they hurt other people. And Peter knew all about failure in his life. Peter was one of the leading disciples. He was the first disciple to recognize that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the disciple who walked on the water when Jesus asked him to come out from the boat. And when Jesus was telling his disciples that they would all desert him, Peter said, "All of those ones might desert you, but I never will." And then, of course, we all know what happened. Jesus was arrested. And Peter followed Jesus to the house of the high priest. And while Jesus was being interrogated, Peter was warming himself by a fire in the high priest's courtyard. And somebody said to him, "I know who you are. You're one of those guys who followed Jesus." And Peter said, "Me? No, I didn't follow him." And then somebody said the same thing a second time, and he made the same reply. And somebody said the same thing a third time, and he denied Jesus three times. And of course, when he heard the cock crow, Peter remembered what Jesus had said, and he ran away. He was so ashamed and embarrassed and humiliated. He felt so terrible about his failure to stand up for Jesus. He had let him down. But here's the thing. Failure is a part of all of our lives, no matter how big or how small we are. We all let Jesus down in different ways. And you know, the causes of failure are many. But let me just suggest a couple of them to you this morning. The biggest cause of failure is pride. That was Peter's problem. He thought that he was stronger than he really was. And it's the main cause of failure in our lives. We think that we can manage so much of life in our own strength. And when we try to do that, that's exactly when we fail. And we all need to pay attention to the little warning, don't we? Pride comes before a fall. And here's the thing about pride. It's so easy to spot in other people. And it's so difficult to see in ourselves. Another reason for failure is foolishness. We think that we know better than God what is best for us. And so we end up doing what we want rather than what he says. And often that leads to failure. If you had a problem with your car this morning, you wouldn't come to me if you had any sense. I might give you a diagnosis, but who knows whether it would be right and wrong. If you had a problem with your car, you would go to a mechanic, someone who knows all about cars. And yet in life, we listen to the voices of so many people telling us what they think is best, rather than listening to the voice of the one who made us and knows what is best for you and me. And then, of course, the third way that we often fail is through weakness. We get swept along by the crowd. We become more concerned about what people think about us than what God thinks about us. And rather than disappoint people, we end up disappointing God. And the result of that will always, always be failure. Failure. It's happened to you, and it's happened to me. It's happened in big ways, and it's happened in small ways. And it's embarrassing. But here's the good news. Jesus has plenty of room for failures in his kingdom, because he knows what our failures are even before they happen. And we're going to think about how Jesus dealt with Peter's failure and how he can deal with our failures as well. Okay, so let's come together. We're going to praise God again together, and we're going to sing two pieces that remind us that Jesus is the one who never lets us go, and Jesus is the one who is mighty to save. And these are two rousing pieces, so I think we'll try and stand for both of them. Hopefully they're not too long for you. And we stand together and sing, Oh No, You Never Let Go, and Mighty to Save.
I want to turn back right now.
And now, boys and girls, if you'd all like to come up to the front, all the boys and girls, and Michelle is going to come and speak to you.
I love picnics. Does anybody else like picnics? Yeah. Did anyone go for a picnic yesterday?
Me.
Well, it wasn't great weather for a picnic yesterday, but did anyone go for a picnic over the holidays when the weather was a bit nicer?
No.
No? That's terrible.
Yes.
It's awful. Did you not do anything with your Easter holidays at all? Did anyone go anywhere nice for a picnic? Where did you go?
Yes.
No, you didn't go somewhere nice, Grace? It was nice. Where was it? Where did you go? Where? The floodgates, that's lovely. That's lovely. James, where did you go for your picnic?
I didn't have one.
You didn't have one, okay. Anyone else go for a picnic? Ryan, where did you go for a picnic?
Port Stewart.
Port Stewart, that's pretty far. Did you have anything nice at your picnic?
No, I just had a salad.
Just a salad, nothing nice, just a salad. Okay, so we're going to have a picnic this morning in church. So I need someone really strong to help me with the big picnic blanket because it's always really hard to get out on your own. Okay, Sophie, you give me a hand. Ready? It's very big. Okay, you have to help me get it out on the ground and put it up on this step up here. Oh, you're going to help too? It is very big. It probably does need three people. Oh, every group effort. We get it nice and flat for me. That's great. That's great. Now you all go back and sit down. That's brilliant. Thank you. That's super. Super job. I'm going to have a wee seat here for my picnic. Now, the picnic blanket is very small, but I am going to share my picnic with you. And my picnic is a story picnic. So I'm going to tell you the story with all the different foods I've got in my picnic basket. So let's see what we've got first. So we're going to do another story about Peter. So we've learned a bit about Peter today. And after Jesus had rose again, Peter was feeling a bit of a failure, wasn't he? He might have been feeling a bit bad. Why, what had he done? What were we hearing about earlier? Yes, Sophie? Denied knowing Jesus three times. He must have felt terrible about that. Yeah. So the story I'm going to tell from the Bible, it's from after the time where Jesus had risen again. And when Jesus rose, wasn't the big stone. This is the big stone. Have to use our imaginations because it's not very big. It was rolled away from the tomb, wasn't it? So we're all going to have a chocolate button to remind us of that bit of the story. Hannah, could you pass those down the row, please? Just sit down and pass them across. So in, just one for everybody, yes. So, in this story, some of Jesus' friends were out on the water, the blue water. There was the Sea of Galilee. It was very blue and very shiny, like this shiny blueberry. So we started with chocolate, but we're getting healthier, folks. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not just going to ply them all with a load of sugar and send them back to their seats. So we are going to have a blueberry to remind us that they were on the blue sea. James, could you pass those down the other way for me? That's brilliant. So they were on the blue Sea of Galilee. And it was starting to shine. They'd been out on their boat. Do you know what? They hadn't been out for a couple of hours. They'd been out all night long. And they were fishing on their boat because they were all fishermen. And they'd been out all night long. And they're very tired. Oh, very, very tired. They'd been out all night. And they'd been out all night. And it was nearly morning. And the sun was starting to rise up in the sky. It was a lovely orange colour. So we're all going to have an orange to remind us of that bit of story. James, while you're there. Brilliant job. So the sun was starting to rise in the sky, so they're all very tired, and it was nearly breakfast time, so they're all getting a bit hungry as well. And do you know how many fish they'd caught? None. Zero fish. No fish. They'd been out all night and caught no fish. How frustrating. But they heard something. They looked over, they heard a noise, and they saw someone. They saw him very far away, so he was very small looking. Like our little gingerbread man. You sit down, James. And someone from the beach, and they couldn't see who it was. They didn't recognize him. And he was shouting out to them. And he was shouting, "Friends, have you not caught any fish?" So we're all going to take a little gingerbread man to remind us of the mystery man they saw on the beach. Grace, do you want to hand them out for me? Good girl. "So, this mystery man on the beach said, 'Haven't you caught any fish?' So what do you think they shouted back?" They hadn't caught anything, surely. They shouted, "No." They shouted back, "No." And the mystery man on the beach wasn't finished with them. He said, "If you put your nets on the other side of your boat, you will catch some fish." And they thought, "Look here, we're the professionals. We know what we're doing. We've been out all night and we haven't caught any fish. What does this guy know about fishing?" But they thought, "We'll give it a go since we're here, you know, keep him quiet because he's doing all that shouting over there. Who knows what he'll say next?" So they pulled in their nets, which was very easy because they're all empty, and they put them all out the other side of the boat. And you know what happened? Fish! Fish everywhere! So many fish! The nets were full of fish. And there were so many fish they couldn't pull them back in. Do you know how many fish there were? Do you want to have a guess? The Bible tells us exactly how many, which is very handy. Five, even more than five, Megan. Even more than five. Not as many as 500. There were 153 large fish. That's an awful lot of fish, isn't it? That's a good, nice fish. And they thought, "Wow, that's amazing." And remember, Peter was on the boat. And someone whispered in Peter's ear, they said, "Look, see that guy over there? That's our Lord. That's Jesus. That's Jesus on the beach." And Peter, although he felt like a bit of a failure and he wasn't sure of himself at the minute, he wasn't feeling very confident. He was feeling like he'd done bad things and he was feeling a bit sad. What he felt more than anything was that he was really excited. He was so excited that Jesus had come to the beach and he was so close to Jesus, but he wanted to be even closer. He wanted to be right beside Jesus. So he jumped out of the boat and he swam all the way to the shore because he couldn't wait to see Jesus. And he got to the shore and there was Jesus. And the disciples, they were taking a bit longer because they had to get all the fish back. Peter had just left them to do all the hard work, hadn't he? So they had to drag all the fish back. They couldn't get the nets into the boat, so they had to pull it along behind the boat. And eventually they all got to the shore and got to meet with Jesus. And Jesus, it seemed like Jesus had been pretty busy because on the beach there was a fire with some firewood, some sticks that he built into a fire. "Stephen, could you hand out our little breadsticks, like the firewood?" And on the fire, he'd been doing some cooking, and he made some bread and fish for them, and they were going to have some fish sandwiches. Now, fish sandwiches entirely ruin picnics, and I don't think anyone really wants to sit here smelling tuna for the next 30 to 40 minutes. So I made ham sandwiches, but they're in the shape of fish. So again, we're going to use our imagination. Oliver, do you want to hand these out for me? So we've got our little fish sandwiches. And the disciples then all got to have breakfast on the beach with Jesus because Jesus knew how tired and hungry they would be when they got back. And remember, Peter was there and he was really excited about seeing Jesus, but he still knew. He still felt like a failure. He still knew he'd done things wrong. He didn't really know what Jesus was going to say to him. And we're going to hear a bit more about that when Jim talks to us again later. He's going to tell us the next bit of the story. Okay? So thank you very much. I think we're all going to sing now, and we're going to sing a new song, but it's not new to you guys, and you know all the actions, which is brilliant. So Emma's going to come and do the actions, and we're going to sing "Who You Say I Am." I'm just going to pick the lids and all my things.
Okay, we're going to do a new song, one that boys and girls have done in Lighthouse. It's called "I Am Who You Say I Am." So I think what we'll do is we'll get the boys and girls and the praise group to sing it for us first so that we can listen to what how it goes, and then we'll give it a go together after that. Okay? So you do it first, and then we'll all stand and try it together.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll all stand together and give that a go, so we will. Who I am, that the highest King would welcome me. Well done, boys and girls. Well done, congregation. Everybody can go back to their seats, and we're going to take up the offering. William? William? You will all have heard in the news of what happened in Sri Lanka this day last week. To think that a congregation, perhaps double the size of this, was wiped out in one day. People of all ages, simply because they were believers in Jesus. And you've seen the reports of the funerals all during the week. And so we want to pray for our fellow believers in that land, for those who have been bereaved, for those who have been injured, for those who are now very, very fearful. So let's come together to God in prayer. We pray together. Lord, we take it so much for granted that we can come to this place to worship you, and we can do so without any fear. We know that we will be safe and secure. But we know that it's not like that for other Christians throughout our world. And we want to bring to you today our brothers and sisters in Christ in Sri Lanka. We want to pray for the many families that have been ripped apart, who have lost mothers and fathers and sons and daughters, and who are grieving those who have been taken from them. And we pray that the comfort of Jesus and the presence of Jesus would be so real to them at this time. We pray for those who are recovering from their injuries. And we ask for the medical services that you would give them the skill that they need in that task. And we pray for the scars on their bodies, but particularly on their minds, that you would heal those scars. And we pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka, maybe meeting right now, wondering what might happen as they gather together to worship Jesus. We pray that you would lift them up, give them your strength and your courage, and help them to continue to take their stand for you. And while we pray for our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka, we pray for other Christians in other parts of the world who are suffering in a similar way. Lord, we ask that your presence would be so real. In Jesus' name, amen. Michelle was telling the boys and girls the story of Jesus appearing to Peter and the disciples. And we're going to read from the Gospel of John. And David is going to continue that story, telling us of the encounter between Jesus and Peter.
We're actually going to read from verse 15. That's verse 15 to 19. If you have your pew Bible there, it's page 1090 or 1090. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
Thank you, David. I want to begin this little talk with a story I heard a couple of years ago. It's all about a man who rings a home, and a little boy in the home answers the phone. His name is Johnny, and he answers it very quietly. And the man asks Johnny, "Is your mum there?" And Johnny says, "No, she's busy." And so the man asks, "Well, is your dad there?" Johnny says, no, he's busy as well. And the man starts to become a little bit, you know, concerned at this point. And he says to Johnny, "Are there any other adults in the house?" "Oh, yes," Johnny says, "the police are there." And the man says, "Well, can I speak to them?" "No, they're busy as well." And the man is becoming more and more concerned. And he says to Johnny, "Well, are there anybody else? Is there anybody else in the house?" And Johnny says, "Yeah, the fire brigade's there." And the man says, "Well, can I speak to them?" And Johnny says, "No, they're busy." And obviously this man is becoming very, very, very concerned. And so he says to Johnny, "What are all these people doing in your house?" And Johnny says, "They're all looking for me." And boys and girls, you know that when you do something wrong, your first thought is to hide. You don't want to be found out. I always remember when my girls were very young and they were in the house. If I didn't know where they were and I couldn't hear them, then the thought that came into my head was they are doing something wrong, or they've already done something wrong. And when parents realize what you have done, boys and girls, they do this one thing that you wish they wouldn't do. They sit you down and they start to talk about it. And you put your head down and you look at the floor because you don't want to talk about it. Here's the thing, boys and girls. Adults behave in exactly the same way. They deal with their failures in the same way that you do, because they simply try to distance themselves from it. Maybe they pretend it doesn't happen, and they do that by trying to be quiet about it. And they don't want to talk about it, and they think that by dealing with it in that way, that it will go away. But here's the thing. Failures don't go away. They make us want to hide. They make us want to pretend that they didn't happen. But they simply don't go away. And they need to be faced. And that's the very reason, as all parents know, that when our children fail, we sit them down and we talk to them about it. We want them to understand what has went wrong. We want them to learn from what they have done. And we also want to reassure them that they are still loved by us. And in the passage from John chapter 21, we find Jesus helping Peter to deal with his failure. Peter had denied Jesus three times. I'm sure he felt so bad about it. I'm sure he didn't want to talk about it. But in our passage, Jesus brought it up. And not only did Jesus bring it up, but Jesus brought it up in front of all the other disciples. And I was thinking to myself, well, why would Jesus do that? It seems a very hurtful thing to do. It's like rubbing salt into Peter's wound. And I'm sure it felt for like Peter that Jesus was even trying to embarrass him even more than he felt. Well, we need to realize that Jesus had already appeared to Peter on his own. And he had already reassured Peter of his forgiveness. And so if he's done that, then why did he have to do this public thing? Well, Jesus brought it out in public in order not only to show Peter, but to show the other disciples that Jesus hadn't finished with Peter. He had still work for him to do. And so he asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" And he's talking about the other disciples. And Peter's reply shows that he's learnt his lesson. Remember when Jesus was telling the disciples that they would desert him? And Peter said to him, "All those other ones might desert you, but I never will." Well, when Jesus asks him, "Do you love me more than these?" Peter doesn't make any mention of the other disciples. He simply says to Jesus, "You know that I love you." And Jesus says to him, "Feed my lambs." And then Jesus asks him a second time, "Do you really love me?" Peter replies again, "You know, Lord, I love you." And Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep." And then Jesus asks him a third time, "Do you truly love me?" And Peter by this stage is getting a little bit frustrated. You could see the red rising up in his face. He was becoming more and more embarrassed. And he says to Jesus, "You know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Why did Jesus ask him three times? Did he not believe what Peter said the first time to him? Well, the reason that he asked him three times was because Peter had denied him three times. And he wanted to make it clear to Peter and to the other disciples that none of those denials would prevent Peter from serving him in the future. Jesus had restored Peter completely. His failure had been dealt with. And this was so important for Peter. For when Peter became the apostle and was teaching the good news of Jesus, I'm sure some people might have said to him, "Hey, Peter, who are you to be teaching us? Sure, you're the one who denied Jesus." And Peter was able to say, "You are absolutely right. I failed my Lord. I failed him in the worst possible way. But he forgave me. And he told me to go and preach his word." You see, Jesus had set Peter free from his guilt and his shame. And the lesson that I want us to learn from this morning is simply that failures need not be fatal in the kingdom of God. Whatever the reason for our failure, but if that is to be the case, our failures need to be faced. How do we face our failure? Well, the way that we deal with our failure is through repentance. We admit our guilt before the Lord. We don't try to make excuses for ourselves. And we seek his mercy and his grace alone. And that's exactly what Peter did. And he was restored. And if you are ready to do the same, whatever your failure may be, you too can be restored to him. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, I've done that. And I actually don't feel forgiven. Well, there's some things I'd like to say to you. Firstly, it's not about feelings. But secondly, perhaps the reason why you don't feel forgiven is that maybe your repentance wasn't genuine. That actually you weren't sorry for what you did. You were actually sorry for being caught. And do you know what a sign of genuine repentance is? A sign of genuine repentance is being willing not simply to admit our failures to God, but also admitting them to other people. And where our failures have hurt or done wrong to another person, part of repentance, true repentance, means being willing to go and say sorry to that person. Or if as part of our failure we have cheated them in any way, it means being willing to go and restore to them what we have taken. And another reason why sometimes we don't feel forgiven is pride. I don't know if you're anything like me, but sometimes when I feel, I could just kick myself. You know, I chide myself. How could you have been so stupid? How could you have been so foolish? As if I was somehow above failure. That this was some aberration in my life that I had failed. And often we don't feel forgiven because we haven't truly humbled ourselves before the Lord. And you see, we can be forgiven because none of our failures are a surprise to God. He knows all about them, even before they happen. And here's the thing about failure. When we face it and repent of it, that bitter pill, which is so hard to swallow, can actually become good medicine for us. It can humble us. It can reveal our weakness. It can teach us to depend more fully on God. It can make us a person who's sensitive to the needs of others and helpful to others who feel like ourselves. Could I say to you this morning, are you facing failure in your life, and it's embarrassing, and you feel guilty about it? Your failure doesn't need to exclude you from Jesus. But you need to go to him. And you can, because he knows all about it. And you need to repent. And where you are willing to do that, there is forgiveness and there is restoration for you. Let's join together to pray. Let's pray together. Lord, most of us are no strangers to the embarrassment and the pain of failure. We have seen how Peter failed, how he failed his Lord at a time when Peter so needed, when Jesus so needed his support. And yet we have seen the loving way in which Jesus forgave and restored him. Help us to know that Jesus is willing to do the same for us, whatever our failures, and give us the courage, perhaps for the first time, or for the nth time, to repent and to turn afresh to him. For we ask it in his name. Amen. And so we turn to our closing hymn, the hymn that speaks of that amazing grace that Jesus gives to us, that amazing grace that is able to forgive and to restore. Mind you of tea and coffee in the hall. And we pray now that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all. Amen.